It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Happy Monday to you. Another edition of Cabali and Mac on deck, ready to go. Green Bay Packers coming to town Sunday night. Are the Steelers going to get their stuff together before then, especially on defense with Aaron Rodgers' old ball club coming to town? So much to talk about this week. We've actually got a pretty big week planned here on Cabali and Mac. Thanks for joining us, friends, Yinzers, countrymen. Hope it's a good Monday for you. The weekend was good to you. Make sure you follow us on all the social media at Cabali and Mac, whether it's on X, where you may be watching right now, on Instagram, where you still got a chance. Not quite at 500 followers on Instagram yet, but when we get there, we'll choose one to give the $100 Yoli gift card to. Certificate. It's a certificate, not a card. And make sure you're subscribed on YouTube as well, at Cabali and Mac. When we get to that magical number of 3,018 subscribers, we'll get somebody their choice of either an autographed Will Hard Steelers helmet or the autographed Stone Cold Steve Austin. What? Black leather vest. Thanks to our friends at Southwest Greens for supporting the show. They've been on board since the very beginning. And you're tired of spending all the time, money, and maintenance on your yard. Get a hold of Southwest Greens. That's not any better. SouthwestGreensPA.com. Grass that ever needs to be mowed, watered, or fertilized. They are the experts in artificial grass that looks, acts, feels like real grass. Again, none of that time, money, and maintenance spent on your yard anymore. You just get to enjoy it. Get a hold of Jake at SouthwestGreensPA.com. We appreciate them supporting the show. What is the deal with you and the headphones this morning? We're 2 minutes in. You can't figure out if you can hear or not.
Well, you know, I can't figure out what to do. I forgot my headphones.
Okay.
I'm off site right now. So
right. Can you still hear me?
I can hear you, but.
Okay. So you don't need the headphones.
Hey, you'll never guess where I went Saturday.
Where'd you go Saturday?
Let me see that.
I know where you went yesterday. You went to Jag Fest. Big TJ cheerleading thing, huh? Cheer
it's
dad.
Good. It's fine, but I don't appreciate the 5 hours for the 2.5 minutes worth of competition.
Cheer dad.
But Saturday was a football game, which was a cheer game, which was a trip to Yoli's.
Oh,
and
nice.
Let me tell you something. You think you need to go to Yoli's to get like the Pappy Nola or whatever? Went up there, got a large pie.
Yeah. You
got the Yoli Rollies.
Yeah.
I will go on record right now to tell you.
Hold on. You're making a bold statement here, I can tell. You're making a point to say Yes. You're going on the record.
On the record to say there are no better pepperoni / cheese rolls better than the Yoli Roll. Right out the oven, sitting there, none better.
I'll back that up. Like, you think of like a pepperoni roll and you think of like the typical thing you get at the gas station, right? And it's just a whole bunch of dough with a little bit of like three slices of pepperoni and a tiny little bit of cheese in there somewhere. No, these are legit. They're like the size of a big ass cinnamon roll and they're just filled with toppings and they're delicious. So I'll back you up on that one. Make sure. Hold on, let me double check the numbers right now and see where we're at on Instagram, because we got to be close to giving away. Yeah, we're at 466 followers on Instagram. So,
if I got that $100 thing, I'd go buy like, I don't even know how many you get. You could probably get like 100 of them.
I would split it between everything. I would get a thing of pasta. I would get some wings because I really like their wings. They are good. They're like the wood-fired type wings, you know what I mean? And then I would get some Yoli Rollies and a pie as well. I would do the whole thing, which with a $100 gift certificate, you could do. Only need 34 more followers on Instagram. Cabali and Mac is the handle. And then we'll pick someone at random to win that gift certificate. Sound good?
All right. I'm off my high horse of banging the table for Yoli's, but spectacular.
It you can bang that table all you want. That sounded weird. You can pound the table. That still sounds weird. You can smack the table all you want for Yoli's, and I'll back you up on that. Funny that John on YouTube just jumped into the chat and asked who I would like for Penn State head coach. He heard a rumor about Urban Meyer. We'll get to the bottom of what's really going on in State College today. As I mentioned, a big week on the show. We're going to have guests galore, including today when Audrey Snyder, like chief of the Penn State football media contingent, joining us in about 15 minutes or so to talk about what exactly went down in State College and what should be expected as their season is slowly spiraling the drain. Lost Iowa on Saturday night.
You become the Franklin apologist after Saturday. Kind of surprising.
According to who?
You're like, yeah, I think he did a good job on it.
Wait, where did I say he did a good job?
I think it was on a text.
Do you want me to pull up the thread just for proof here, pal?
I mean, I don't. I will tell you right now, the way I took it is was he was worried about his rear end and how he came across nationally and how he was his first opportunity for a job interview with the nation. And while all you Penn State football fans, that's what it came across to me.
I mean, I'm not concerned with what he thinks about Penn State anymore. He's gone.
Do you know one Penn State fan that watched that on Saturday and says, yeah, you know, I might change my mind?
Nobody cares what Penn State thinks about James Franklin anymore. It's done. It's over with. Was pure PR for him for landing his next gig.
And he had Sexton is his agent. Sexton is Saban's agent.
Which is why
if you're a Penn State fan, to me as a college football fan, be like, yeah, that Franklin's not bad. As a Penn State fan, you're like, come on, man. And I'm neither, so.
Well, look, what I said on Twitter was, he didn't do any whining or complaining. He let Saban do it for him. And all he really said was he was shocked by what happened and that he was going to go win a national championship somewhere else. Good luck at Florida or Arkansas or Oklahoma State or wherever the hell he ends up doing that. Good recruiter. Not going to lie about that, but he's just never going to be the dude to get a program over the hump. And to that point, God love him for thinking he can do it somewhere else. I don't know. We can get into all this later. Audrey Snyder, who covers Penn State extensively and has for years, is going to join us, like I said, in about 15 minutes or so. We're focused on the Steelers, kaboom. They got a little bit of a bonus day today.
Yeah, a little surprising. The Steelers. Normally they come and have their, you know, their bonus day is they go practice. Nope. Come in, watch film, out the door, and we'll start it all up on Wednesday. Maybe it's because it's a late Sunday game. They could practice Saturday. They could do their walkthrough more Saturday. I don't know.
Maybe.
But not much going on today other than an open locker room where there'll be very few people in it. But other than that, let's get the week started.
You'll be there to cover it anyway. And I know everybody wants to talk about the defense. There's plenty to talk about with the defense because the defense played like crap against Cincinnati. But one of the first things we got to bring up because, we're now 15 days from the NFL trade deadline. Our good buddy Rap Sheet, Ian Rappaport, NFL Network. The Steelers are once again in the market for a receiver, according to sources. Their offense has thrived by featuring multiple tight ends, but the addition of a speed threat to pair with DK would help Aaron Rodgers and the offense. No doubt, another deep ball guy, another go ball guy, just another weapon on the outside would help. I don't think anybody would argue that, kaboom. By the way, George Pickens had another huge game yesterday, for what it's worth. But I don't know. Is that necessarily a priority for Omar Khan and the Steelers right now, going out and getting a wide receiver?
I think it's a priority, as in they would like to add somebody. Now, how good of a player that they're willing to go and how much they're willing to give up is under debate. I don't think they need a speedy receiver. Roman Wilson and Scotty Miller and Calvin Austin is pretty speedy to me. I think what happened would help them this past week was it seemed like they figured out how to use Freiermuth more in the offense. And I think the Roman Wilson, he had 33 snaps. He made a couple plays. He had his first real legit opportunity, and he made plays. So,
and they actually ran the ball, which helps a whole hell of a lot too.
Yes. So I think they want to maybe protect their butt just in case Austin's injury pops up again. And maybe if a DK Metcalf gets hurt, but I don't see them. I don't see any need. I don't see any real willingness to go out there and give up a third round pick to get Chris Olave or whoever else might come up. Jacoby Myers, I think he's still banged up, is he? Yeah. I don't see that happening. I mean, where they might need some help at, especially after this week, is defense. But where in the world are you? Where would you even start?
Start on defense. Yeah, defense is a whole
place.
Different
story. No place to get better there. You have to play better.
Yeah, the defense is on coaching and coaching the players they have correctly. I think we can get into that in a second. So I don't think, maybe we'll be proven wrong, because we didn't think Omar would make a bunch of the moves that he made this past offseason. But I mean, it's basically been stated that Olave is pretty much off the market. They're trying to lock him up to an extension before he goes into his fifth year option next year. AJ Brown is not going anywhere. I've said that repeatedly. AJ Brown is not going anywhere. AJ Brown is not going anywhere. Philly would riot if the Eagles traded AJ Brown. That leaves guys like you mentioned, Jacoby Myers. The Dolphins have tried to put to rest any rumors about Jalen Waddle, although they're speaking of circling the drain. I mean,
well, especially now with Tyreek Hill, who knows when he would be back, if ever. I mean, a year or 2 years, if ever. You want somebody of a number one caliber there. So, no, why would you do that?
The other big names that people have thrown out there, like a Calvin Ridley from Tennessee, because their season's pretty much over.
Money now?
Yeah. Alan Lazard's name always comes up.
Alan Lazard's not better than what you have.
I would tend to agree. I would tend to agree that it's just not worth it at this point. Rashid Shaheed was a name that came up when the Olave rumors came out.
But I think a lot of him was with the punt kick returns. And I think Keyshawn Williams has pretty much took that by the neck and stranglehold and said, this is my job right now. I think he's played well in the past 2 weeks. So that takes that need out a little bit.
Yeah, although if you could get somebody who could do the returning and be a number two wide receiver across from DK, maybe kind of a 2/3 split reps with Calvin Austin once he's healthy again, then he doesn't have to handle punt returns, especially if that ankle, knee, right? Yeah, knee is a little rusty coming back. No, shoulder. What the hell am I talking about?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I don't. I'm just – no, shoulder for Austin. Anyway.
I'm just shaking my head like, what are you –
Yeah, you're not even paying attention to what I'm saying. You're like, yeah, that's right. He's going to name every part of Austin's body that might be hurt.
If you've got a healthy Austin and a – I don't want to say up-and-comer, but a getting better Roman Wilson, I think that's fine. But this is all predicated on DK Metcalf staying healthy, which he's played a crap load of snaps over the past, four of the past six games that they played. But he's
no more bye weeks after this.
There's no DK Metcalf out there. So if he gets hurt, oh well, because you're not going to replace him.
No, you're not. But you'd like to have somebody who's capable of being of eating up more snaps and not having. I mean, it would be a disaster right now to lose DK. You'd be in a world of hurt, and you don't have any bye weeks after this. You don't have any mini buys or anything like that. Like, you're straight on through now, and you're not going to have extended periods of time for guys to get healthy or sit around and wait for guys to come back. So that may, I don't know that. Look, Omar, I'm sure, is working the phones, but I wouldn't expect any big names to pop up in Pittsburgh in the next couple of weeks before the trade deadline.
2 weeks from tomorrow, maybe? 2 weeks.
Yes, November 4th.
Yeah, and you think Omar is the one, the Steelers are the one that pushed that a week back.
That was their proposal to push the trade deadline back another week, right? Yeah, because
that's pretty much the midway part of the season. So, I would imagine they'd be active looking I mean, multiple positions too. It's just not there. They would probably look for depth along
across defensive the line.
It's hard to find offensive line help.
Defensive line.
Oh, you said defensive line?
Yes.
I only got like 13 of those guys.
And how many of them are good?
I'm sure there's, you know.
How many of them are stopping the run right now?
I'm guessing a bunch of teams are out there and say, take our great defensive lineman right now.
Well, no, you're not getting a great defensive lineman for free. When you mention other positions that you might want to shop for, that might be one.
You're getting the Marvin Leal back. That's your big roster move at defensive line.
Thanks to our friends at Impact HVAC for supporting the show. Kaboom's rocking the hat today. Get your furnace checkup taken care of. It's chilly out there, down in the 40s this morning. It's only going to get cooler from here on out. Have them come out and check out the furnace before you fire it up. Make sure everything's running right. Get it in good shape by going to Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. Send them a message. Get it scheduled. Here's the great part, or give them a call, 412-297-1852. The great part is it's usually $79.99 for that furnace checkup at the beginning of the season. They'll do it for half that price, $39.99. If you have a new article of kids' clothing or children's toy to donate to them, they'll get to the foster project for families that are fostering kids this holiday season. So Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. Message them there, or give them a call, 412-297-1852. We appreciate them. The defense is the bigger issue. I don't know. There's a million different things that we could continue to peel apart from what didn't work Thursday night. A lot of it was coverage scheme, who was on who. But it all comes back to the way they used the guys that they went out of their way to go and get this offseason to combat a team with a deep receiving core like Cincinnati's didn't work. And you can argue that it's the officiating for calling things too tight in the secondary. You can argue that it's too much zone or too much man or not enough doubling this guy or that guy. But to think that you would go into that game after going out and getting those players and not be prepared for what you want to do against Cincinnati when you went out and got those players for that express purpose and other teams with deep receiving cores is disturbing to me and makes me wonder, maybe not necessarily against Green Bay or Indy or even the Chargers, but there are going to be instances down the line where you play teams with a good set of receivers and I don't know if I'd trust that they're going to be ready to combat that when the time comes.
Well, they got to trust themselves first. I mean, the coaching staff has to trust them. They brought these guys in for one sole reason, and it wasn't, hey, when we play Minnesota in Ireland. It was when we play Cincinnati and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, and it seemed like first they either got away from it really quickly and it put them in a situation – where they were afraid that they were going to get beat over the top. So they played off coverage. Some of this old stuff again, man. We don't think teams can go 12 plays and score on us. Well, you know, they can. So I think you got to me, I think you have to have more faith in the guys that you brought in, even though Ramsey might be still a little bit banged up. Porter's been second game back, and Slay hasn't played great, at least in terms of allowing catches or catch rates. So I think the biggest problem was that they just didn't allow them to play like how they said they were going to allow them to play in July.
Yeah.
They weren't playing press. Okay, don't play press because you can get beat real quickly and get beat for a deep pass. I understand that. But you just can't keep darting around the
– But didn't you also go out and – didn't you also go out and completely remake the safety room? More or less, right? And Elliott was able to get to town for the game. Understandably, he didn't have a ton of prep for it. But you went out and got Thornhill. You went out and got Clark. And look, you didn't have a Minka Fitzpatrick-style free safety sitting back there in the middle. I get that. But you still had Elliott. You still had Thornhill. You still had Clark. You still had guys that you would think would be able to handle the middle of the field so that you can try to funnel those outside guys, Chase and Higgins in that instance, into the middle. Let your corners, you know, play outside on them. And like you said, press them at the line. Try to force them off their routes and force them inside and have guys there to cover when they do. I mean, how many, you said it on Friday morning, how many times was it 1-2-3 slant, 1-2-3 slant? It was slant after slant after slant to Chase. And there was no adjustment to stopping it when they saw that their guys weren't able to do it, or when they saw that their system wasn't working, they didn't try to change up their system or their scheme.
Yeah, I mean, they changed it early on, but they just didn't stick with that. I mean, they put together the game plan basically Monday and Tuesday, and I'm just trying to imagine what that game that they look like. The Bengals, they're probably saying, okay, we know they can't run, so let's just throw that off the board. Okay, we know Joe Flacco's 160 years old and it's only been around for a week, so there's some issues there. So, you know what we can do? Let's just, only way we're going to get beat is if we get beat with some of these big plays. Let's prevent that. That's the only way I can imagine thinking this went down on Tuesday, that they just, for a lack of better description, didn't respect that offense. Yeah. Because they were able to run the ball. Flacco was able to pick him apart, and they didn't have to go down the field very much at all. So maybe it was just the fact that they just didn't think the Bengals were very good.
Well, look, it's going to be different. They're not going to face a similar situation, at least this week, against the Packers. They're going to face a team that can run the ball down their throat if they want to, and Josh Jacobs.
Except yesterday.
Right.
Jacobs only had, what, 50?
But they still escaped with a win because, well, Arizona. And their leading receiver right now is a tight end. So they've got a multitude of targets in the receiving room, Green Bay does, but they don't have that wide receiver one like Chase that you're trying to take out of the game. And it comes back to what we've been talking about for months. Can they stop the run? They couldn't stop Chase frickin' Brown and the Bengals and a bad offensive line from running the ball on them. That does not bode well for Sunday night against the Packers. If the Packers get going with the run game, then none of this coverage stuff is going to matter again.
Yeah. I mean, typically, historically, when they struggle in an area one week, they clean it up for the next week, and it'll be fine until like 2 weeks from now, then that will resurface. So I would imagine the defense plays well. I imagine Josh Jacobs will find it hard to be able to run the ball. And I think that they'll play great defense in this game. But the problem is consistency. I mean, that does you no good if you play like this one game or two games or what do we say, Vikings, Patriots, Vikings, Browns, right? Mm-hmm. And you crap the bed. You got to continuously – you stack and wins, you got to stack. Good defensive performances. They have the talent. That's why I say you can't go out and get upgrade on November 4th. There's nobody, there's no one person you can put in there and to think that they're going to be a better team. You got to have better playing and better schemes. And that's what it is. I think they're a better roster than last year defensively. I think they got some very good talent that is going to continue to get better, but you got to make the plays and you got to put them in the right situation.
So here's the thing. You've shown that you have difficulty against the run a couple of times this year, and you've shown to have difficulty with the Bengals, and you've shown inconsistency on defense. And what do we have lined up for the next few weeks for this Steelers defense? We talk about Josh Jacobs and the Packers. Okay, you're going to have to focus on stopping the run. Next week, it's a really good Colts offense that can do just about everything well. They've got a tight end. They've got a running back. They've got weapons on the outside, and they've got a quarterback that suddenly knows how to play the game. Then, okay, you go to LA against the Chargers, who are a bit of a shit show right now, right? Okay, but that doesn't mean they don't have weapons you've got to guard against, at least on the outside. And then back home for another game against the Bengals. Then to Chicago for the Bears, who have multiple receiving weapons. Then Buffalo. Like, if the defense doesn't get it together now, they're going to be in a really bad spot in about 6 weeks, where we're talking about this team blowing a division lead again and throwing away all the capital that they'd worked to build up through the first 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, I wouldn't anticipate them, you know, crap in the bed for all four of those games. I mean, I'm sure that, I mean, let's look at the next stretch of three games are very important. I think that will go a long way in determining what type of team this is. If this is going to be a division winning team or this is going to be battling with the Ravens and or I'm not going to say the Bengals because the Bengals, they're not a playoff team. I'm sorry. They just played well for one game and the Browns. So these next three games are imperative because it's against a Colts team that would do wonders for you in any sort of a tiebreaker instance. You play well in Los Angeles. You play well on Sunday nights, you know, especially in your throwback uniforms. Nobody mentions that.
Oh, that's right. They got those awful throwbacks.
Mike Tomlin, 16-5 all time in throwback uniforms.
Woo! How far did you have to reach up your own rear end to pull that number out?
AI does all the work for me now. I just come up with a thought. So AI could be lying to me.
Probably is.
But we'll take it for what it's worth there. So, I don't know. You know, we thought Buffalo was unstoppable 3 weeks ago. Now it's like, yeah, that team's not that. They've got issues, but. So things change.
Everyone goes through their cycles, right? Yes. Everybody shows their warts occasionally. The Colts haven't shown it as much as anybody else. But yeah, I mean, everybody goes through the waves and the ups and the downs. Nobody wants to ride the roller coaster like Aaron Rodgers talked about on Thursday night. I get it. Everybody's going to go through the ups and the downs. The problem is when the downs are accompanied by not just losses, but things that we've seen before, like getting beat on the ground the way they did by Cincinnati or getting beat by Chase and Higgins, which, to be honest, Chase and Higgins hadn't really torched them like that before. I mean, they haven't torched a lot of people. Like that was record-breaking what they did Thursday night, the number of targets and the number of catches. But when you see something old rear its ugly head, like a lack of ability to stop the run game, and something new, oh, all these corners and secondary pieces that we went out and got aren't able to cover these guys, it gives you reason to go, we're more than just going through a dip here. We might have some serious issues that were just covered up over the last few weeks.
Yeah, I still think that this team has enough talent to get past that or to continue to get better. So, I mean, I don't think this is last year's defense where they imploded near the end of the year where they were just beat up physically and weren't able to do much of anything to stop the run. I just think it's a better unit overall. So I don't know. I wouldn't be that worried. I guess you have to be concerned, but I'm not worried. I'm not quite sure if I'm mixing the words there of how I really feel about this. I think they can get it together. And it's just maybe they just match up bad against the Bengals right now.
Are you going to match up against them again in 3 weeks?
We're sitting here moaning, bitching, and complaining about a defense, and rightfully so. Mm-hmm. But my goodness, shouldn't we just say, boy, I would really – it would be, if it was flipped around and the defense was winning games 10-7 and the offense couldn't score, we would be moaning and complaining about that. I think the defense has a better chance to turn things around and be more consistent than hoping for the offense like we did for the past 5 or 6 or 7 years. So I think that puts them in a better situation.
I totally agree that the offense is in a better place now than it was even just a few weeks ago, and that it's in a better place, much better place than it was at the end of last season. Yeah. So that you feel good, even though, like we talked about on Friday, it's a terrible Cincinnati defense they just played without Trey Hendrickson. You still feel pretty good about hanging 30 points up there. That's a good sign going forward. If you can do that against Green Bay and Indy and the Chargers, all right, you'll be in a decent place. The defense is definitely the bigger issue now. So we're going to go through this. Like I said, the ups and the downs, like Aaron Rodgers said, we're not going to ride the roller coaster. Thanks to our friend Arch. Archie's the best place to be, not just tonight, but every weeknight, every night period. 80 Cent Wings Monday through Thursday nights down at Archie's down on East Carson. They're open all weekend long, Saturdays and Sundays, for all the games. the best place to watch all of them if you're not actually at the game. Down on the south side at Archie's, you know, it's not just the wings, it's the burgers, it's the sandwiches, it's the iron, the ice cold iron and icy light and whatever else you like to drink. Get on down there to Archie's. Enjoy the 80-cent wings tonight. There's two football games. There's a game 7 in the American League. There's all kinds of good stuff. Plus, you know, wings and ice cold iron to wash it all down with. Thanks to Arch for supporting the show. We appreciate
you left out the biggest part.
What?
Talk about the wings, the Iron City, some of the mangoes, the pizzas, the trivia.
Yeah.
How about just hanging out with Arch?
That's true too. That's not a bad benefit. Some of the stories Arch has are next level.
Oh, and unbelievable. I said, Arch, I need to write this book.
Yeah. The stories he has throughout the years involving...
Was he like a bouncer at the...
He's done a little bit of everything. He's been around the block a time.
The old Rod Woodson Club or something.
Rod Woodson All-Star Grill.
It wasn't that. Somewhere in Station Square. Yeah,
Matrix? Was it Matrix?
No, that's before. Well, we're talking about Arch before that. Yeah, I can see Arch cleaning the house.
Oh, yeah. He'd bust some skulls if he had to. But yeah, get down to Archie's, enjoy the wings, enjoy all the games on all the TVs, and maybe an ice cold iron or two as well. Before we get to, real quick, Audrey's running behind. We may get her before we're done. We may not. We'll see. Penn State football speculation is not exactly something that has to happen today.
You know, she's a big Packers fan, right?
She's a huge Packers fan, which is why part of why it lined up for this week. So we'll see if it works out for later this week or if she's able to pop on before we're done today. We'll talk to her. But the Penn State football coaching speculation isn't going to stop anytime soon. So we can talk to her another time. If she can't make it this morning, she's doing a million things after a late trip back from Iowa over the weekend where Penn State played like garbage. Before we get to something I'm going to call the Wheel of Suck, I wanted to ask you about this. Because it's another classic Kabali midnight tweet. Saturday night, around 11:45, you must have been watching Back to the Future. It must have been on some channel somewhere. Because you asked, I think, a really important philosophical question. Bigger asshole. 1955 Biff Tannen. 1985 alternate reality hotel owner Biff Tannen, which would be 2015, I think, is where he's where Marty travels to find that out. Or 1885, Buford Mad Dog Tannen. And I think most of the responses I saw to your post were the alternate reality hotel owner, Biff Tannen, who, you know, kills George McFly, takes Lorraine as McFly as his own wife, forces her to get the implants.
Tried to shoot Marty.
Yeah, he's 1955 Biff Tannen is a bad person, right? But he's not the scumbag that alternate reality 2015 Biff Tannen is.
I don't know. 1955 Biff Tannen tried to force himself on Marty's mother.
That's true. He does try to force himself on Lorraine.
Yeah, but Buford, man, he was just Buford's underrated.
He's third on this list, I think, clearly.
Well, you know, only he's third on the list because you expect that in 1885.
I guess.
Plus, it's
Back to the Future 3. It just doesn't care. None of it carries as much weight.
Dance. He's doing the moonwalk.
I appreciate that it's a part of the trilogy. It's not even close to being on par with 1 and 2.
The hotel owner, Biff Tannen, when he, like, just peruses around in like a robe.
Yeah.
How great is that?
Do you ever just walk around the house in a robe?
I've never wore a robe in my life. Here's another one of mine. If you ever wear a robe, wear a robe and put it at the bottom of your bed? My goodness, you can't be under the age of 90. Mike Brady would do. The Brady Bunch would always put their robes on before they walked down the steps.
Yeah, I've never been a robe guy. It's just not.
I mean, robes are, your wife's a robe when you get out of the shower. Those things tend to happen. Kids are always like robe people, but I don't believe in robes whatsoever. I don't think they should be.
What, are you going to try to outlaw them?
Yeah. I mean, I don't, do you know anybody that has a robe?
I mean, my wife. Yeah, are you talking about like men?
Yeah. If you would guess who would wear a robe.
Oh, man.
You think Aaron Rodgers would wear a robe?
No. I bet Jerry Dulac has a robe. I bet it's monogrammed too.
Maybe Pomp.
Pomp's isn't a robe. It's a smoking jacket, even though he doesn't smoke. And it's red wine colored, so that just in case he spills a sip, doesn't show up.
The button up one, pajamas.
Yeah. So Dulac definitely has a robe. Pomp may have one. Those Walsh. Are the only ones that are coming to top
Richie
of mind.
Walsh might.
Nah, man.
What do you think Richie Walsh sleeps in?
A shower cap to protect his hair?
Let me text him. I bet you he's a pajama guy.
You think Richie's like a silk pajama guy?
Yeah.
With something on his head to protect his hair.
Do you wear...
This is going to seem weird, regardless of how you word it.
Too bad. Do you wear pajamas to bed? Let's see if he responds.
If I got that text from you randomly, that would be one of the creepiest things you've ever sent.
Oh, you have to expect where it's coming from, so you would...
But you think Richie knows what the hell's going on?
Well, he expects it from me. He would expect something like that from me.
Okay.
He'll probably respond to me 3 days from now. Dave,
I don't wear anything, man. Disturbing vision.
Uh-oh. Quick response.
Quick response? Okay. What is it?
No. Why?
So, okay. Do we really need to? Yeah, I guess we do at this point. We're invested. You need to ask him, what's he sleeping then? And do you own a robe?
I said, are you a shorts and t-shirt guy?
I bet Richie's 50-50 to be a robe guy. If he's not a robe guy now, he's going to be a robe guy in like another 10 to 15 years.
Boy, you could tell that.
You want to play the Wheel of Suck?
All right. Wheel of Suck. We're played by Biff Tannen. By the way, Back to the Future 2, I might be the only one to believe this is better than Back to the Future original. I do say that. The only sequel is better than the original.
It's close. I don't know if it's...
Very, very good.
There's other sequels that are better than originals out there, I'm
sure. Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Not Karate Kid. Don't even go there.
No, the first one's the best. Would you argue that any of the Rockies are better than Rocky 1?
Rocky 3 was pretty good.
Yeah, Mr. T.
My list of Rockies were 1, 3, 4, 5, 2.
Wait, you put 2 below 5.
I'm not a big 2 guy.
Wait.
I got another. No, why?
Just trying to figure out if he's a robe guy or not.
Wear a robe to.
Definitive ranking of Rocky movies goes 1, 4, 3, 2, then 5.
No, 3. 3 is.
Actually, Balboa comes before 5. No. 5 is just bad.
Balboa. I don't know if I've ever watched that.
What are you talking about?
Number 5 with Tommy the Gun?
Tommy Morrison, yeah. That's the worst of the entire franchise. I'm sorry.
Well, I asked him for what? Robe, and he says, probably Pomp in a robe and a pipe.
Yeah, see? A smoking jacket. I knew it. I knew that's what it would be.
Now he's going to ask me why, and I'm not going to respond to him.
So yeah, no, respond in like a week. All right, so here's the deal. The Wheel of Suck. I'm going to go into the NFL standings and take all of the teams with, well, there's only one team that's winless. That's the Jets. All of the teams with one win, the Saints, the Titans, the Ravens, the Dolphins, and I'm going to throw the Raiders on this list as well because they were just so bad yesterday. And we're going to spin the wheel, whichever team it lands on. We got to talk about whether they, what the hell kind of disaster they are. So you ready for the Wheel of Suck?
It's the first time I'm hearing of it, but it should be great.
Well, yeah, we'll figure it out. It's something to do. There we go. The wheel is spinning. That's how this works.
You already messed it up.
No, I didn't. We're good. Okay. First team on the Wheel of Suck. The Ravens. Are the Ravens going to make the playoffs, Kaboom, or do they really suck?
They really suck right now.
Okay. Do they have a chance
to come to me in about a month and a half, and I might have a different answer.
So they play the Bears this weekend. Then they go to Miami, to Minnesota, to Cleveland.
That's not what I'm talking. You know what I'm talking about. Lamar has to come back, and Lamar has to be MVP Lamar. If he's that, they are not sucking. They have a good chance. Not a good chance. They have a chance to run the table, maybe win the division.
Run the table?
Very unlikely because it's hard to do. If you get MVP Lamar right now, I think that's – you can't answer that. Right now they suck. Yes, suck.
Okay. Terrible. Ravens suck right now, right but there's now. A good chance they won't suck by the end of the year.
It all depends on one guy.
Like, I think even if Lamar comes back and isn't MVP level Lamar, they could still be a playoff team. Like, they could go, what are they, MVP. one in five
Lamar
right now?
Lamar turns into good Derrick Henry, turns into a formidable offense.
I mean, I think they can get above average Lamar, above average Derrick Henry, and just keep the defense from sucking all the life out of every game, and they could still finish 9-8 and end up being a wild card. So that's not MVP level Lamar, and they still back their way into the playoffs. They're not back their way in. They'd have to play well down the stretch.
1-5, tough.
Yeah.
But as of right now, they suck.
Okay. As of right now, they suck. All right, let's spin the Wheel of Suck again and see who we land on this time. I took the Ravens out since we just did them. Tennessee Titans, it looks. Yep.
That could be the worst team in the NFL in a good decade.
Worse than the Jets right now?
Worse than I think they're the worst team. At least the Jets have some talent. They got a receiver. They got a defensive line. They got a corner. They got a running back. What the Titans have?
Nothing. They got Cam Ward throwing the ball backwards. They got no coach.
No running back.
No receiver. No running back. No
tight end. No defense. I can't name one player on that defense.
I was going to say Harold Landry, but he's not there anymore. He's in New England now. God.
Terrible.
Oh, they signed Legarius Sneed, right? Isn't Sneed on their defense now?
I don't know.
They're bad.
I think that no matter who it is, they're the worst.
They're the worst team in the league right now, the Titans.
They don't even have a coach. Mike McCoy, how many times are they going to repurpose him?
All right. Titans definitely suck. Maybe the worst team in the league, Kaboom says.
They suck of the suck.
They suck of the suck.
They're the suckiest.
All right. Let's spin the wheel again and see who this one ends up on. We took the Titans out. We got the Dolphins, the Saints, the Jets, the Raiders. All right, we already touched on this team a little bit. The Dolphins, they definitely suck, but the question is, how bad do they suck? Mike McDaniel apparently isn't going to get fired this week. I can't believe they let him on the plane home from Cleveland. I can't believe they let Tua on the plane home from Cleveland because first he goes out and trashes the entire team. And then he proceeds to turn the ball over three or four times. Then Quinn Ewers comes in. It was a disaster. They had a chance to sort of find their footing a little bit, but they went to Cleveland and played like absolute trash.
Yeah, I think they have a little bit of talent. I mean, Waddle, I thought, good. Or Tua can be good, I guess. They're just – I don't think they have enough weapons for what McDaniel wants to do. You know, this quirkiness of McDaniel was kind of neat about 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, it was fun.
Now it's like, well, this guy is, can't take him seriously. Well, you know, he was doing pretty good for himself a couple of years ago. You know, when they dropped 60 points on the Patriots or whatever they were doing there.
70.
I won't say they suck, well, but they're sucky. There's other sucking teams in there.
I think they suck as bad as anybody in the league right now.
Really?
Yes. Who, if you can't beat the Browns, then I don't know what you're doing. Like that was your chance to, like I said, kind of find some footing and maybe move forward in a positive direction. How he didn't get fired, like I said, not just losing to the Browns. It's not just that they lost to the Browns. Okay, it's on the road, bad weather, kind of windy, kind of rainy. Okay, Dolphins suck in all those elements, but like, they didn't just lose. They got their asses handed to them. It wasn't even a game. There was a lot of bad football yesterday. The Dolphins may have played the worst football.
But the week before that, they should have beat the Chargers. They played right with the Carolina Panthers. All of a sudden, turned into a decent team. They beat the Jets within 10 points of the Bills, within a score of the Patriots. So it's not like they've been totally out of it. Do they play the Titans? No. Darn it. You'd like to see them play the Titans. But when your only win's the Jets.
they play the Saints in early December. That could be a massively terrible football game. They play the Jets again. There's some bad games out there on the schedule that the Dolphins will be a part of. All right, one more spin.
Should have thrown in there.
What's that?
The Commanders.
They don't suck.
I don't know, do they?
They don't suck.
They look bad the last couple of weeks.
The Cowboys' offense is really good. Dak's playing as well as he's ever played. George Pickens is keeping it together, and they have a running back.
Williams. I always liked Javonte. I thought the Steelers should have traded back in that draft, picked Williams in the second round. Mm-hmm. I forget what draft it was 4 years ago. Was that the Le'Veon draft? It might have been.
No, it wasn't the Le'Veon draft, was it?
It was. Why would I want you to pick him? So it had to be the Le'Veon draft. I thought I always liked him. Where, Carolina, right? I
always liked him. 2021 he was drafted.
He really never had much of an opportunity or didn't get any.
You mean the Najee draft, not the Le'Veon draft.
When I say love, I meant Najee, yes. So I thought he didn't get much of an opportunity in Denver, so. Yeah, I always thought he was a good quarterback.
Hey, my point is,
he's looking dumb now. I think Jerry Jones is looking pretty smart right now.
Oh, let's pump the brakes and see how it goes. They just beat the Commanders with an injured James Daniels.
You're ready to hammer him. Anything Jerry did wrong with this Micah thing doesn't look that bad.
Defense is still iffy.
He got two first-round picks and got off the board for that money.
Okay.
And
he's still
playing, you know, winnable ball.
Winnable. Against Commanders with injured Jaden Daniels.
Well, Commanders,
that's the issue with Washington. McLaurin and Daniels out, you're kind of screwed.
Well, he wasn't out yesterday until he got out.
Okay.
Until he got hurt again.
No McLaurin, no Daniels. Maybe then they suck.
Dude, you gave up 44 points to the Cowboys.
Yeah, we just established that the Cowboys have a good offense, though.
The teams you beat were the Giants, Raiders, and Chargers.
I still don't think they suck.
Suck.
Okay. One more spin of the wheel of suck. We're down to the Raiders, Jets, and Saints left on the wheel. Let's see who we land on this time. The Jets this time. We already talked about them a little bit.
I don't think they suck.
You don't think the Jets suck?
No. I think they got some players. I think they need a quarterback.
Wow.
If you put this version of Aaron Rodgers on that team, I mean just that version, not any of the personality issues he's had with Aaron Glenn and all that crap. This Aaron Rodgers on that Jets team, they probably got 4 wins.
No.
Yeah.
Sorry. They're a disaster.
Breece Hall.
Okay. And? And?
Wilson. And?
And?
I'm trying to think of the other wide receiver.
And that's it.
Well, you got a number one receiver and a number one running back. That's not bad. And a pretty doggone good cornerback. Not bad. And a pretty doggone good defensive line. So it's not like, let's act like they don't have any. Titans, no talent. Jets, talent.
A little bit of talent. But not enough that they can't suck if they don't have the quarterback.
That's what I'm saying. The quarterback. You throw a quarterback in there. You throw Rodgers in there. Mason Rudolph in there. Mason Rudolph goes there instead of Justin Fields. They're probably 4-3.
That's pushing it, I think. And I like Mason a lot, but I don't know if they're 4-3. Who would they have beaten? Would they have beaten the Steelers?
That's hard to say because that was a Justin Fields game, right?
Would they have beaten the Bills? No. Would they have beaten Tampa? Maybe. Would they have beaten Miami? Okay, I'll give them that one. Would they have beaten Dallas? Probably not.
Denver?
Denver? Maybe, because Denver played like crap.
Carolina, they should have won that one.
Okay, so maybe.
Denver, they should have won. They should have beat Dallas 3. Miami's 4.
Maybe 3, if they had a quarterback.
Tampa, they only barely lost. It's 5.
All right, this has been the
exercise. 5-2.
I think the wheel of suck was a good exercise for the first time around.
Either. So they just got a young quarterback and a young coach.
All right, we only got a few minutes left, but we wanted to bring in the dean of Penn State football writers. You can follow her on her Substack, and she has made the time for us this morning, even though she is exhausted after a weekend trip to Iowa. She did wear her Packers sweatshirt on purpose. She knows exactly what's up. Welcome in Audrey Snyder. Check out Inside the Lines. I mentioned her Substack and the Nittany Dispatch podcast as well. Still on Twitter, X at Aud Snyder 4. Thanks for making the time, Audrey, even though it was a long weekend, I'm sure.
You know, I appreciate you guys. I made the mistake of pulling an all-nighter coming back from Iowa City. It's like, leave the press box at 1:30, flight at 6. You just don't go to sleep. It caught up to me in big ways tonight, or like tonight into this morning. So, yeah.
Well, let's start.
I've had some travel issues too myself.
Yeah, Kabali's never had travel issues. If the man if the man didn't have bad luck, he wouldn't have any luck at all. Let's start with the big story from over the weekend, I guess, which was the James Franklin PR appearance, I mean, interview on College Game Day. What's the reaction to it as far as you can tell from the people in power at Penn State? Did they take anything away from it? We talked about it a little bit earlier, and Mark's assertion was that if he were at Penn State, he'd feel like there was maybe a little shrapnel there towards the Penn State fan base and administration from what Franklin had to say. I give him a pass because he didn't really say anything directly other than he was shocked by what happened and kind of let Saban do the whining and complaining for him.
Well, yeah, and Saban does the whining because they share an agent with Jimmy Sexton, right? So, like, welcome to James's public job interview. I mean, that's what it felt like. It was like, hey, I'm ready to coach again. I mean, at this point, right, like, I'm sitting there in my hotel room in Iowa City watching this. I'm like, hasn't even been a week. And the guy's like, I'm ready to go coach. This is what I do. I don't have hobbies, which I can say, like, Penn State was fine with it. Like, they, and even talking to Penn State fans the night before, fans were asking me, like, oh, is James going to rail on Penn State on game day? I'm like, no, he's trying to get another job. He's going to come in there. He hit on the resume points, if you guys caught this. He was like, well, remember where they were when I got there almost 12 years ago, which was the first he had tried to defend his resume in the past week, because after his last game at Penn State against Northwestern, he didn't even go there. He's just like, yep, like, let's just kind of move on. Yeah, it felt like the tenor of a job interview. It felt like what you say when you're like, yeah, I'm ready to go coach again. Let everybody know I'm available. That's what I took it as.
Do you think he had an inkling that it was coming? He made it sound like he was hit by a broadside of the barn there. Saying, it came to me 5 minutes before practice, says you're gone. Something tells me that he might have had a little bit more thought that was going to happen before it actually happened.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell when he walked out of that stadium Saturday night. I mean, when I'm asking him a question about his starting quarterback for an injury update, and the man doesn't try to dodge it for the first time in almost 12 years, that's when you know you're done, right? Like, it's just, hey, yep, he's Drew Aller's done for the year. I mean, James could sense it. He could sense the fan tenor. You know, Penn State, they did make, like, what he's saying is accurate. Like, they did fire him shortly before a team meeting. But he was in his office that Saturday night after the game, like, went right to work. Sunday morning, he was back in the office because they typically practice Sundays. And then they told him, like, shortly before, hey, this is the end. And then Terry Smith took over, and the team obviously was very emotional. So they did not practice last Monday, which they typically do.
Do you think he was resistant at all? I've heard these rumblings, resistant at all to bringing in more talented guys via the NIL system and the portal, and that Pat Kraft really pushed for him to do more in that way, and that part of the reason he's out now is that he did show maybe too much loyalty in some respects to some of his players?
Yeah, I think there is truth to that. I know there's truth to that. I mean, he had said it years ago. One of his flaws is that he's loyal to a fault, and you could see it. I mean, he did not want to upset the locker room dynamic by bringing in some more high-profile transfer portal guys. I mean, you look at it, they went out this past offseason, brought in three wide receivers, which they also needed to do the year before and didn't. And it's like, okay, well, why do you keep putting some of these guys out there? Well, you know, like, they're older guys, they deserved. I mean, but you can even go back further in his tenure. I mean, Micah Parsons' freshman year, he wasn't a starter, right? He was splitting time with this linebacker, Koa Farmer, and you're looking at it, everybody's like, you know, Micah's the best guy, he's the higher upside guy, why aren't you playing him? Saquon Barkley's freshman year, same thing. You know, I remember Penn State playing at Temple, getting their doors absolutely blown off. And it's like, this kid that you guys were gassing up all camp, why isn't he carrying the ball? And so I think that's, like, people don't realize James is more old school than I think they like understand, because they see the outwardness. They see, you know, the social media stuff. They see all these things. He's much more old school than people think. And for sure, the NIL stuff, the transfer portal, they needed to be more reactionary. I mean, you look at it, like, they're probably, whoever they bring in for the next coach, this guy's going to bring his quarterback with him, or they're going to get a quarterback through the portal. Like, that's the college game right now. And James was always like, no, we're going to wait. We have our guys. We're going to bring in the high school guys, develop them, and go that route.
I know they had two of the bad losses in a row, UCLA, Northwestern, but a couple of their highly regarded recruits said, hey, we're opening a backup right after that. Did that have anything to do with it, do you think?
You know, so when you look at it, I think the interesting thing is going to be, what guys do we see moving forward, right? Who is there? I mean, something I noticed this weekend, because Western PA guy, right, Quentin Martin was not on the trip this weekend, which, you know, is interesting to me, just because Penn State consistently all year, nobody's taken that RB3 job. Like, they do not have a third running back. They're waiting for three guys to take it. And in my head, I kept going back to, like, aren't there ways in which this guy can help this team? Like, you know, you look at one of these highly regarded prospects, like, could he help you as a kick returner? Like, are there ways you can get some of those guys involved? It's going to now fall on Terry Smith to kind of sort through all of this. But, you know, talking to some of the bigger name guys on this roster, like Catron Allen, he's like, yeah, I'm going to see this thing through. I'm going to continue playing the rest of the year. Hey, if guys want to keep getting paid, right, in the rev share era, checks hit the 15th of the month. So if they want to get paid, they got to be there. Now, do we maybe see, oh, hey, my hamstring hurts or my ankle hurts? That's what we're going to be looking here for the next month plus.
Yeah, let's get Quentin Martin in there. I mean, Bell Vernon graduate here.
Yeah, seriously.
Let's get him in there.
That's why I had to go that route for you guys.
What do you think is going to be sort of the epilogue of the Drew Aller era at Penn State?
That's a really good question, because it felt like, not it felt like it was, we never got the signature moment, right? This is your highly coveted quarterback, and it just so happens that he ends up ending his collegiate career in what becomes James Franklin's last game at Penn State. Like, crazy that, you know, this, all the storylines last week, understandably so, like, your starting quarterback being done, his college career over, like, wasn't even, like, top three. But, yeah, to me, it's a little bit of a, the recruiting rankings were wrong. Like, I think there's some of that. It's the, here's a guy with a big arm who Penn State never got the development. Maybe you make the argument that Penn State has four different people coaching Drew Aller and it's too much, and that's part of the problem. I think you can make that case a little bit. But with the draft being in Pittsburgh, like, you guys are going to see it. It's going to be front and center. It's, well, what is this guy? What round is he going? Who falls in love with Drew Aller now coming off ankle surgery because he has the big arm? Because they want to make the Josh Allen comparisons. I mean, the way the guy looked this year, right? Fifth rounder, maybe? Right? And I say that as, obviously, as a Packers fan. And Sean Clifford went in the fifth round a few years ago, and that was insane and shouldn't have happened. So maybe, you know, maybe something like that takes shape because of the potential. But, yeah, Penn State, I mean, I think his career is going to be, hey, thanks for being here. Thanks for showing up. Thanks for playing. But you can't point to a moment where you're like, yeah, that's a positive moment. Obviously, we all go back to the Notre Dame game in the playoff and say, yeah, like, that was the five-star quarterback.
Now, there's not a person that you can meet that says something negative about Terry Smith. Does he have any opportunity here to sneak his way in here as the head coach?
I don't think so. I mean, they said he's in the mix, but when you make the move that you make with James Franklin, getting rid of essentially 10 wins a year, right, like 9, 10, 11 wins, you're swinging big for your next hire. Like, I even make the argument that if you took James Franklin's profile when he was coming from Vanderbilt, if you took that profile and what Penn State's looking for now, I don't think they would have even taken James Franklin, right? So I think they want someone who's an established head coach. But whoever does come in here, I think they'd be really smart to keep Terry Smith if Terry still wants to be here, which gotta imagine he does. You know, I've seen some of it where James says on game day of, hey, we're going to go win a national championship elsewhere. Well, okay, most of these coaches are going to follow him and, you know, best of luck at the next stop. But I'm not so sure Terry Smith is one of those guys. Like, I think, sure, Terry was with James for almost 12 seasons, but his loyalties, I believe, are to Penn State. And obviously the levels with which he can speak to about this program, his dad going here, obviously him playing here, Justin King, his son coming here, recruiting here at a high level. Like, to me, this is a guy you want to have on your staff. And you're put in a tough spot right now, right? With everything going on, he's navigating it as best as possible. These players do want to play for Terry. Like, there is, you can tell they like him. They always have. Head coach, I don't think so. But part of the next staff, I absolutely think if he wants to, it should be part of the conversation.
What names do you think are on the short list for Pat Kraft then? I know in the immediate aftermath a week ago, we all turned and looked towards Bloomington. And then Indiana was like, no. Here's a blank check, Kurt. You stay as long as you want to. And Matt Rhule didn't exactly bathe himself in glory Friday night. So I still also think that there's a part of it that kind of takes Matt Rhule out of the discussion, because I can't imagine you want to go back to your hometown and maybe if things don't go well, you're persona non grata then after things not going well. So maybe it's Rhule, maybe it's a bigger name. You know, people throw out the Kiffins and other people, but do you think Pat Kraft, you said they're going to swing big. How big is that swing? What are some of the names you think might be on their short list?
Yeah, Rhule for sure. I mean, the link there is Pat Kraft is friends with Rhule and they've worked together at Temple and they're extremely close and like they vacationed together and all of that, which I don't know. Would you want to work for your best friend? Like, I'd probably not. So I wonder about that. But yeah, I think you look at Rhule and the fact that he's a builder. I mean, that's kind of been his thing of building programs. It was interesting when he was on last week with McAfee, I see Caboli's ears perking up, and he was on with McAfee. He didn't say no. He said, hey, like, Nebraska is a destination job, all of this. But he did not say the words no, which I think is maybe notable, maybe not. But yeah, they did not help themselves Friday night. You mentioned Lane Kiffin. Possibility, but also talk about somebody who really does not fit the culture of this place. Man, that would be a hell of a crazy ride for me to cover that. I'm not so sure that's what we need to cover. You know, somebody who is intriguing to me is Matt Campbell at Iowa State. And I think you look at it and you say, okay, he's been able to win with less. And I think you can make the argument that he wins probably with more when you have more resources, more talent at a Penn State. So I think that can make sense. You got to make a run at Kalen DeBoer in Alabama. Does he want to come here? I don't know. You got to make the phone call and find out, right? Like, I think that's the big swing level of it. You don't need to go after Billy Napier. They won't. I think DeBoer should be among those talking points, among those conversations that they're having. But here's the other part. The timing of all this, right? Because you want a coach theoretically that is good, right? Coming from a playoff team.
Right.
Also, if they're in the playoff, those games are happening in late December, and that's too late to hire your head coach. So then you're missing the signing window in December. I mean, because let's be honest, this roster is going to be cleaned out. Guys are going to move on, as most of them do with a new staff. It'll be a mass exodus here of players. So ideally, the sooner the better you want that coach. Well, we don't have to worry about it now, but if Nebraska went 10-2, they're a playoff team, that probably takes Rule out of the conversation. Which is why I say if Alabama, if things fall apart, you don't make the playoff, you're a sexy enough hire that you can swing it as a, hey, this is our big swing. But also, if you don't make the playoff, you're perfectly timed to come here. So to me, the timing piece is going to be really interesting. I don't see there being like a dark horse candidate in this thing. I say that and watch, they're probably going to interview somebody like crazy. But yeah, I mean, it's the other the wild thing is it's October 20th. Like, you are so ahead of the coaching carousel. Does that maybe speed things up? Because Wisconsin's probably going to come open. I saw Florida State this morning said they're committed to Mike Norvell, but probably not after the season, maybe, right? So that job comes open. You're going to see the domino pieces start to fall. So you're putting yourself ahead of the curve, but also, like, how do you get someone to come in here between now? And my timeline is, like, first week of December.
I still think Urban Meyer, then. That makes sense to me.
Oh, Caboli, are you just trying to root for chaos here? Is that what you want?
Hey, there's no such thing as chaos, baby. I swear, you just do it, and let's have fun doing it. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, he says, let's have fun doing it, as the beat writer cringes.
Well, honestly, the more people that hate him, will be more people that read him, read about him.
Yeah, that's. I mean, you have that angle, but I just, man, you can't do it. And that is, to me, like, it's going to be so fascinating to see what they do here, because you're, and let's, I want to put this out there, because I've seen a lot of people, even this past weekend, fans are asking, well, is this the right move? Should they have let James go? No, they should have kept him. We're not going to know for 2 to 3 years, right? Like, to me, the move that you're making says whoever you bring in next, you've probably got 2 years to get back to the playoff, you know? And that's the – James Franklin was here almost 12 years. That is a long time in college football. Like, that's the other thing that – and, again, it's unusual because of this fan base, because they were used to one person being here forever. But it's kind of like – I'll make the comparison, Mark, to, like, if Tomlin, right? If Tomlin were to leave, if they were ever to move on, right? You've got a fan base that clamors for it, and they get pretty loud every now and again. But once it happens, people are like, oh, shit, like, is that – did we want that? Like, we were booing, but we didn't want him to lose his job. Like, I've heard so many Franklin defenders in the past week that I don't know where these people were for the last 11 years.
All right, let me tweet this. Audrey Schneider, no, boy. Tomlin to Penn State.
No.
No.
Jesus. No, 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 no.
Why would you do that, Mark?
Hey, if I can create a distraction for him for this week with the Packers coming to town, I'm all for it.
Oh, you're all for it? Yeah.
Aren't you an Aaron Rodgers fan, though?
So, no, I'm a Packers fan first and foremost. I'm going Sunday night. I will be there. I made my bye week plans to go to the game.
Nice. Way
back, but actually, before Rodgers even landed in Pittsburgh, I was making the decision to do that. Yeah, Packers fan first and foremost. It'll definitely be weird watching Rodgers. I mean, but I still, like, I'll watch him now just like I did, you know, for that hot second with the Jets. You turn it on, see what he's doing, and you don't know. I mean, you get DK and you say, all right, like, let's air it out to him. They're compelling. But Micah Parsons is also coming to town.
Had himself a game yesterday.
Get yourself a press pass and go ask him about Franklin.
You know, I listen, this is my
– Write the whole thing off, Audge. Write the whole thing off.
This is a business trip to me to have some beers, watch the Packers, and then, yes. You know, I'm sure Michael will tweet about it. I'm sure he'll just – he's very out there on social media. I'm sure he'll just – I'm honestly, I'm surprised he hasn't. I know Saquon Barkley was asked about it in Philadelphia earlier this week. He would not name any candidates that he wanted to see Penn State bring in. So I guess he's not on the search committee. He's got bigger things going on.
Well, if we're here for the chaos factor, throw John Gruden's name in there too, just for the chaos and entertainment vibes.
That is, people have thrown that name out there too. That the basically the Kiffin thing is would be very chaotic, right? Like yeah. Lane's crazy. Gruden would also be extremely chaotic. So I think you guys are just rooting for whatever's going to make my life worse is what I'm, right?
We're rooting for the clicks. Clicks.
I say clicks. I can tell you, coaching searches sell. When you're your own boss, you're like, wow, this is people are very much tuned in for that. Yeah, the Kiffin thing would be fascinating just because you look at it and you're like, the guy wins, but there's a lot that comes with that.
There's you got to see if you can find a safe spot in the eye of the storm and stay out of the wind shear. Audrey, thanks so much for making time this morning. We know you're exhausted after a long weekend. We appreciate you keeping us up to date, and good luck to your Packers this weekend.
You know, thank you. I appreciate it. I'm very much looking forward to getting out there. Should be a fun time.
All right. Have fun.
Thank you.
Yep, Audrey Snyder. Check out her Inside the Lions Substack. It is fantastic. If you are a Penn State fan, you know she is the dean of Penn State reporters at this point. She's on top of all of it. Also, the Nittany Dispatch podcast as well. Appreciate her making the time towards the end of the show here. Who's it going to be, Kaboom? Who's it going to be?
I just realized it does not seem like 14 years since Paterno's been gone. You know, coaching. It doesn't feel like that long, does it?
Yeah, it kind of does.
It was 12 for Franklin and two for
Bill O'Brien.
O'Brien, right?
Yeah.
It does not feel that long. I was a young man back then.
I guess. Well, but when you stop and put the Franklin era into perspective, I think you do realize how long a time it was, because there was a lot of ups and downs. I think it's going to end up being Matt Rhule. It's just too easy for them.
Matt Rhule, baby. I don't know.
State college guy, friends with the AD.
Let's figure it out.
Pay him a boatload of money.
Yeah.
Give him all that Adidas money.
Boatload of money, baby. And on it, I mean, is there much difference between, as in locations of where you live, of state college in Lincoln, Nebraska?
I don't know. I've never been to Lincoln. Lincoln's
a whole lot. State college.
I would think Lincoln's a whole lot flatter. Is it just a flat state college?
I would assume.
I don't know.
I was a big Cornhusker guy.
Of course you are. Thanks to our friends at Higgins Professional Painting for supporting the show. They're going to be in Kaboom's house shortly doing some work, painting up his wife's office. They'll do the drywall repair. They'll do interior and exterior painting. If you're looking to revamp your indoor space, give it a fresh coat of paint, or the outdoor space, up the curb appeal. They'll handle all of it for you. Also, if you got a business, they'll do commercial and industrial painting as well. They do it all at Higgins Professional Painting, and they've been doing it for 40 years. Family owned, family run. In Pittsburgh, get a hold of them and schedule your free estimate at 412-344-0480, or just check them out, HigginsProfessional.com. We appreciate them supporting the show. So I mentioned it's a big week this week on the show, Kaboom. We have a special mystery guest still planned for Wednesday.
Oh, I forgot all about that.
Yeah. You can check in with the special mystery guest tomorrow. Make sure he's still good.
I totally forgot about that. What time are we doing it? 10?
Whatever time he said works for him.
Yeah, whatever.
Good job by you. And then Friday, we will get you ready for the Packers with Matt Schneidman of the place where Mark used to work. We'll just say it, The Athletic. He covers the Packers. Matt Schneidman going to join us.
Audrey used to work at that same place, too.
That's true, and we managed to go without mentioning it.
And Audrey used to work at the other place I used to work at, too.
Any other places you used to work at?
It's only two, I think. Arch was two. Yo-Yo worked at three different places with him.
You can't get away
from him. He might be in the lead.
I don't know. Is that necessarily in the lead, or does that put him – anyway. So a big week. Wednesday, very special mystery guest going to join us. Friday, Matt Schneidman of The Athletic, who covers the Packers. Thanks to Audrey Snyder for joining us today. Thanks to each and every one of Yins. Thanks to the Dan Heck team for supporting the show as well. Looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area, go check them out. HeckTeamHomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, HeckTeamHomes.com, the Dan Heck team. there to help you buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. We're going to let Kaboom go down and cover that media availability.
Phil's getting mad we don't have a Pitt beat writer on.
Well, let's be honest. We should probably do that.
Fire your head coach.
Head coach. Have your starting quarterback. Well, they've already made a quarterback change. So
I don't even know who the Pitt beat writers are anymore.
Chris Carter covers Pitt still, doesn't he?
Not really.
No?
No, he does all Steelers.
I don't know. You know what? What's Pitt's schedule like? Hold on. No, I'm going to placate Phil now. This is what we're going to do. Because he's one of my favorite people. And it's a valid question. If we're going to have someone on to talk about Penn State firing James Franklin and who they're going to hire next, then we should talk about Pitt. Let's see. They got NC State this week, then trip to Stanford. How about this? The week of the Notre Dame game, we should have somebody on.
All right, we'll figure out who that might be.
Because if they are, they would be 5-2 now, 6-7. If they're 7-2 going into the week of the Notre Dame game, we'll have to get somebody on. Sound like a plan?
Yep.
Because then it's the gauntlet. It's Notre Dame, Georgia Tech, Miami.
I'm just trying to think.
Wouldn't Pitt fans love it if in the year Penn State shits the bed and James Franklin gets fired, that they sneak up on everybody and steal the ACC again? Anything's possible in that conference.
Maybe we have Doran on.
Could do that.
Oh, you know what? The great Bill Hillgrove.
Oh, my. That would be big.
The great Bill Hillgrove. Could do that.
That would be big. We're going to keep that in our back pocket for a couple weeks from now for the Notre Dame game. Thanks to everybody for joining us. Make sure you're subscribed on all the social media. Make sure you're following on YouTube. Kaboom is going to go cover the locker room and see if anybody's there and then go home and take a nap. I'm going to go play some Shaboozy songs. Yins, have a great Monday. Thanks for joining us here on Kabali and Mac.